There it goes. What do you think about kids and Jesus? Can small children come to Jesus? Are they able? Is there a certain age you have to get to before you can really engage the kingdom of God and engage the person of Jesus? Or can a little kid hear and understand? Does the kingdom of God have much to do with kids? Or is it more for the grown-ups? Is it more for the big people who have more understanding? These are important, large matters. Is it more about the grown-ups and the kids can kind of come along, but it's not so much for them, at least not yet? Is it mostly something that adults do, knowing Jesus, talking to Jesus, hearing the Word of God, responding to the Holy Spirit? Is it mostly something adults do, or is everyone involved? What do you think? Kids, what do you think? Can you see me? Are you paying attention? Are you listening? What do you think, kids? Are you able to approach Jesus? Kids, can you understand what Jesus is about? Can you participate in the business of the kingdom of God, of the life of the church? I agree with you. And so does Jesus. And we're glad that you're here. I love to hear your voices. I love that you're paying attention. I love that you're with us. We all do. And this morning we're going to see these same questions that I've just asked you, these same questions raised by Jesus in the book of Mark, and we're going to see what Jesus thinks about it. And that's really the question, isn't it? That's always the question, is not what do the grown-ups think or what do the kids think, but what does Jesus say? That's how we know. That's how we all know what the truth is, what the reality is what does Jesus say about this? What does God say? So also, if you're here this morning and you don't have children and you're thinking, this is just a parenting sermon, I'll just check out. There's stuff for all of us here, because not only does Jesus address children and how we bring children to him, but he also addresses how children then become a model for how all of us approach God and approach Jesus and approach the things of the kingdom of God. And so there are riches here for all of us. So let's read together Mark 10, 13 to 16. Please follow along in your Bible. I encourage you to have it open in front of you. That way you can refer back to it. We'll just be working through the text. If you don't have Bibles, we have some on the bottom row of this shelf. We have some on the back table, though I don't see any. Some scattered around in the pews. You probably have one on your phone. I'd encourage you to have a Bible in front of you as we read and as we work through. If you ever get lost during the sermon, you can just look back at the text and just find which verse we're on, because we will be closely looking at one of those verses and walking our way through. Also, there's handouts on the back that kind of show where you're at in the sermon, give a little outline. Sometimes they have fill-in-the-blanks to kind of keep you following along. But I say all those things, that's not just procedural talk. What we're doing is giving ourselves to the Word of God. This is an act of worship, and so this is why I want us paying attention. It's not that important about what I think about kids, but it's absolutely vitally important what God says about kids. So, having your Bibles open, Mark 10, 13, says, "And they were bringing children to him," that's Jesus, "that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant, and said to them, 'Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it.' And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them." So this morning I just want us to see three things in this passage. One, that there's an impulse from the parents to bring their kids to Jesus. Two, there's an impulse in the disciples to rebuke that to keep the kids away. And then third, there's a kind of a multitude of responses from Jesus to the parents. So first, the parents' impulse is in verse 13. They were bringing children to him that he might touch them. Bringing children to Jesus. This is the impulse. The parents know Jesus. They've heard about Jesus. Maybe they've had contact with Jesus. They understand something of what he's doing, of his ministry and what he's accomplishing. And they want their kids in contact with Jesus. They want their kids to connect with Jesus. They want Jesus to lay hands on them and bless them. They want Jesus's blessing. We're not told these kids aren't necessarily sick. You know, usually in the Gospels, we're getting familiar with this kind of thing of people bringing others to Jesus for him to heal, for him to cast out demons, for him to do the work that Jesus does. Here, we're not told that these kids are sick or anything, but their parents are bringing them to Jesus just because they want Jesus to bless their kids. What a good impulse in these parents. Amen. So those of you who are parents here this morning, turn all your affection for your children this way. When babies are born, there's a strange thing that happens, right? For those who are parents, you hold that baby for the first time and you expect to love them and you expect to delight in them and you expect to have affection for them. But when it happens, you're surprised at just how much love and affection you have for them. This is a common thing that happens for parents. And you want the best for your kids. You want them to be successful. You want them to go to a good college. You want them to find a successful job and have a healthy marriage and a good spouse, maybe kids of their own one day. And we want these things for our children, and we try to teach them, and we try to make sacrifices so we can give these things for our children so they can have all that we long for them. But what will it profit a child if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Amen. Parents, channel all that affection for your kids, all that desire for their good, align it with what's true, that what they most desperately need is Jesus Christ. Do you believe that if you have Jesus, that you have enough? Do you believe that if you have Jesus but you don't get into the great school you wanted to go to, that it's enough for you? Do you believe that if you have Jesus but you don't have a bunch of extra money, you just have kind of enough to eat that week? Do you have enough if you have Jesus? Amen. Same with your children. Turn all your affection for your children this way. Of all the things we want and long for our children, this is the most important, to bring them to Jesus, that Jesus will lay hands on them and bless them. This is what our children need. And so we should use that, gather up all that affection, all that longing for our kids, to diligently bring them to Jesus for his blessing. And so I want to give you 7 examples on how we can do this. 7 practical ways, 7 specific things we can do to bring our kids to Jesus following the example of these parents. They were bringing children to him that he might touch them. Because Jesus isn't physically living on the earth today in bodily form. And so we can't just walk down and find him on the street and hand our children to him and say, please lay hands on them and pray for them and bless them. We can't do that. Jesus said that the situation that we have now is actually better than that. He said, it's better that I go away, because then I will send the Helper, his Holy Spirit, who indwells him. And Jesus, his Holy Spirit, the person of Christ, is present now by his Holy Spirit, and we can come to him. And he can bless our children. So here's 7 ways to do this practically. 1, read the Bible to them. Read the Bible to your children. God speaks through his word. I know you're probably not surprised by this. Read the Bible. Yeah, check. But are you doing it? Are you diligently, parents, are you diligently reading the scripture to your children? Children's Bibles are good and really super helpful. I highly commend the Big Picture Story Bible. It's a great Bible. But also just reading plain scripture to your children. Are you doing that? Are you doing it regularly? Are you thinking of it as their food? Because it is. Read the Bible to your children. God promises to meet us in his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? by the word of God. Read the Bible to your children diligently. Expose them to Christ. Do you want them to connect with Christ? Read his word to them. You don't have to compile a sermon every day. You know, parents often, they struggle with this, and you fall out of the habit, or you get intimidated or nervous because you think, what if they ask questions, or maybe I don't fully understand. It's okay. The Word of God is filled with power, and it's able to just do its work. Just expose kids to it and read it to them. We used to have a habit, maybe we should restart it up. When we were laying our kids down to bed, we would put on the Bible on CD, and we would just play the Gospel of John or various things over and over again to them while they were falling asleep. And one day I was with one of my children, and he was little, he was probably three, and he's off doing something, and I go and I find him, I can't find him, and he's off by himself, and he's just standing over there saying, "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him again, "Do you love me?" And he said again, "Yes, Lord, you know all things, you know that I love you." And he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he was grieved that he'd asked him this third time. He said, "Lord, you know all things, you know that I love you." Just a little three-year-old, this is the script that's playing in his head. Why? Because he's just listening to the word. He's just listening to the Bible, and it's getting in, and it's seeping in. Read the Bible to your children. Bring your children to Jesus. Also, teach them to pray. Teach your children to pray. Okay? None of these are going to blow your mind. Really? Prayer? Oh, good. I didn't know you were going there next. But again, in the application of it, teach your children to pray. Pray for them, pray with them, and teach them to pray. Fathers, parents, are you teaching your children to pray themselves? Do you model prayer for them, and then do you ask them to pray? Do you lead them in prayers? Do you encourage them to pray? And they'll say, "I don't know how." Okay, it's your turn to pray, son, or it's your turn to pray, daughter. "How do I do it?" And you say, "Well, say, 'God, I praise you. God, I praise you.'" Then what? This morning, I think it was, at the table, somebody was giving thanks. They're just saying, "Then what?" And so I'm telling them more stuff. "Well, how about praise God for this?" "Okay, they praise that." "Then what?" They just feed them the prayers. That's okay. This is how we learn things we don't know. This is how we do it. Teach them to pray. Read the Bible to them. Teach them to pray. Teach them to hear the Bible and then respond to it. These are good tips for all of us, right? Teach them to hear the Bible and then respond to it in prayer. So parents, we choose to do this at our house at dinner, to after dinner. Because at dinner, we make a priority where we're all going to gather together. There's going to be one time a day when we get everybody together, and we're going to sit around the table, and we're going to have fellowship, and we're going to be together. And then we're all already there, so we do a short reading and some short prayers, and then we sing. And then we make a joyful noise, and then everyone gets up from the table. And it's a good time. And it doesn't have to be, like I said, a sermon. But so what you're doing is you just read the Bible to your kids, and then you just tell them, read a short section, and then say, "What would you like to pray in response to that word? What would you like to pray in response to that reading?" "I don't know." "Okay, well, what was it about?" "I think it was about loving your neighbor." "Good, it was about loving your neighbor. So how can you pray? Is there anything there that you could talk to God about?" "Well, I guess we could ask God to help us love our neighbor." "Great, why don't you do that? Okay, God, please help us to love our neighbors. In Jesus' name, amen." Does God hear that prayer? Amen. And does he answer? And does he move? And does he shape little hearts through that process? He does. So reading the word and teaching to respond through prayer, and then say, "How are we doing at loving our brothers?" "Oh, not that good. I failed today." Okay, how can we talk to God about that? I guess we could tell him sorry. "Yeah, good. Why don't you go ahead and do that? We'll tell him that we're sorry for not loving our brothers more. God, please forgive us for not loving our brothers." Amen. Jesus, you see, we just teach our kids, we teach them, we expose them, we teach them to pray. We pray for them, but you can engage them in this. And this is what I'm saying. It's not just a boring thing that they're not involved in. Okay, from their perspective, it's something that they're actively engaged in. They're hearing the word. They're responding with prayer. We're all engaged together. We're bringing our children to Jesus. Third, involve them in the life of the church. Involve your children in the life of the church. Bring them here. Bring them to worship. Expose them to singing. I have a little one who can't read yet. And because she can't read, she can't read the words of the songs on the page. And so one of the things I do is I'll hold her or sit next to her, and I'll try to whisper the line of the next song to her before it comes. And that way she can sing it. And I'm teaching her to sing to Jesus. I'm teaching her to praise Jesus, and I'm trying to be mindful of her lack of ability, and I'm trying to help her make up for that. So then she hears, and now she's singing. She's singing lines. She's just echoing them back. And this is it's a good thing to involve our kids in worship, to involve them in the life of the church, to bring them here, to bring them in worship. So glad to see kids sitting here listening to me. And I can see you as you look up here, and I can see you as you're listening, and I can see you as you drift away, and I can see you as you come back. And so here's a good on-ramp back into the sermon, right? If you've drifted off, kids, here's hop back on and be with me here. Because as we're talking about how parents can bring you to Jesus, these are things you can participate in. These are things you can grow in. And then if one day maybe God blesses you with children, then you can learn these things too. So we involve our kids in the life of the church. We bring them. The kids can understand things from the sermons. They truly can. And as you're bringing your kids in here, you know that and you're noticing that. The kids, they're processing and they're receiving more than we recognize, more than you would expect. They will hear and they will catch things. Involve kids in the life of the church. Involve kids in the life of gospel communities. We have gospel communities and small groups that meet. And when I meet a lot with church planters and people who are starting new churches as they come, and we discuss things together. And a lot of times, one of the big questions that young church planters have is, what do you do with the kid problem? You know, we've got this kid problem. Like, we got all these kids and we don't know what to do with them. They make lots of noise. We don't have a staffed nursery, so we don't know what to do with them. There's a problem with the kids. Well, the kids aren't a problem. We got to change our mindset about the kids. Having kids is a blessing. This is life. This is a good thing. They're not a problem. And okay, but what about in small groups? Because in small groups, you got to dig into deep and weighty and difficult things. And what do you do with the kid? What do you do about the kid problem? Engage the kids in your gospel communities. Now, I'm not saying, you know, maybe sometimes there's something that grown-ups need to talk about. That may be the case. But in the regular life of your gospel community, just engage the kids and bring them in. And it's beautiful to watch them as somebody says, man, I've been struggling. You know, say you're talking about contentment, and maybe that was what was in the sermon, and so you're discussing it. Somebody says, I've been really struggling with discontentment. And then we'll say, okay, who will pray for them? And then watch a little kid. Often it's the kids who are the first ones to volunteer. I'll pray for that. Great. And they pray, God, please help so-and-so to be content. And they say, amen. And everybody says, amen. And we're all praying together. And now that kid has an opportunity to minister to their brother or sister in Christ. What a beautiful thing. They're learning. This isn't just a program designed to, okay, we'll just play games and try to give you everything you want and keep you happy so that you don't bother us while we try to pursue Jesus. That teaches them something, doesn't it? That teaches them patterns and expectations about the church. But rather than that, they show up and we're asking them to be involved. Kids, who are you going to pray for? What can you do? How can you be a part of this? And maybe it seems small to you, but it's not small. It's huge. These are the ways we bring our children to Jesus, involve them in the life of the church. Give them, number four, give them a Christian education. Teach your children about Jesus. Teach your children to view the world as Christians. Teach your children to view all of the world as Christians. To view every part of their world as Christians. Don't teach your children that history is a random story of and a random string of dates that have nothing to do with anything. Teach your children that history is the unfolding story of God redeeming the human race to himself. And show them that. Teach your children that every part of their world, every part of their life is about God. Teach your kids that 2 plus 2 equals 4 or 5. Which is it, kids? What's 2 plus 2? 4. Thank you. Teach them that 2 plus 2 is 4, not by accident, not because that's how you feel 2 plus 2 should be, but as an objective fact in the way that God ordered the world. That God created an orderly world that we can understand and we can figure out and think about. Give them a Christian education. Number five, the kids are all going to amen this one loudly. Spank them. Spank them. Spank those children. They folly is bound up in the heart of a child. We all come into this world with folly in our hearts, with foolishness. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. We come into the world in rebellion against God and in rebellion against authority. And one of the ways that we can bring our children to Jesus is by addressing the rebellion against authority in their hearts. Addressing the folly of God-hating that's in their hearts when they're born. And so we discipline them. when they rebel against us, and we're not just worried about them obeying us. They say, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, so that it may go well with you, so that your days may be long in the land. Right? So we address that. We address children are born with an opposition to God. Your sins have made a separation between you and me, says God, so that I will not hear you. Your children come into the world alienated from God because of their rebellion against him, so that he will not hear. So you need to address that rebellion. When they rebel against you, when they rebel against God, you should spank them and teach them firmly, with discipline. You should have a discipline voice with your kids. You should have a tone that you can shift into. Hey, I told you not to do that. And then you shift in, you give the discipline, and then you should have a restoration voice, right? Now come here and give me a hug. I love you. I'm doing this for your good. Okay. This is one of the ways we bring our kids to Jesus. Spank them. Number six, pray for them. We talked about teaching them to pray, but we pray for them. Pray for your kids. Talk to God about them and ask Jesus. This is one of the biggest ones, right? They were bringing their kids to Jesus. You can go directly to God and you can say, God, please connect with my kid. Please touch my child. Lay hands on them and bless them and give them faith and give them a new heart, because none of this is going to work unless God supernaturally acts in their salvation. Amen? Salvation is a gift, a sovereign gift of the Lord. Your kids can't work it up, and you can't create it in them. No matter how bad you want to, and no matter how hard you try, it's a pure gift of raw grace from God himself. And so we just ask him. And he's a God who loves to give good gifts to his children who ask. And so we ask with tears, and we ask with persistence, and we just never, ever give up asking. Pray for them. Bring them to Sunday school. We offer classes here to help teach them, classes for little kids and classes for bigger kids, where we're training, we're coming alongside parents to offer additional teaching. Bring your kids and let them learn with their friends, so that we help create a culture of learning and pursuing Christ together. So the kids are like, wow, we're all doing this, and they can ask their questions and they can see this isn't just mom and dad, but this is the whole church. There are others here who are invested in my spiritual growth and in my learning the gospel, and they can hear this from others and they can be cultivated and raised up in that. All right. Somebody suggested last week that I do better at making application in my sermons of specific things. So this is my attempt. Okay. Number one, bring your kids to Jesus. Okay, there's seven ways to do it. There's more ways than that, but that's the foundation. That's the bedrock. Bring your kids to Jesus. Imitate these parents in this impulse. The second point is to notice the disciples' impulse. So you have an impulse in the parents. They're bringing their kids to Jesus. We want to do the same thing. There's a second impulse where the disciples rebuke them for doing it. That's in verse 13 also. They were bringing their children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. Why? Why on earth do disciples rebuke people for trying to bring their children to Jesus? Well, it doesn't say. It doesn't say. But I think we can guess. We can imagine what they might be thinking, what they're probably doing. You know, this is grown-up stuff here. This is kingdom business. Jesus, the king of Israel, has come. You know, he's coming to rescue it, and we're establishing a kingdom. And, you know, I don't know, but I doubt that the president of the United States often just has a bunch of little kids running around in the Oval Office, right? We're doing grown-up business here. Get those kids out of here. This is the kingdom of Jesus. Jesus needs to focus on what's important. We need to gather the powerful people, the influencers. We need to get them in here around Jesus, and, you know, the kids will come later. It'll work its way out to them. Maybe that's what they're thinking. Maybe they're thinking the kids can't understand. You know, they don't get it. They're just running around, you know, chasing bubbles and drawing pictures, and they don't know. The kids, get them out of here. Let's just move them off to the side so we can get back to the serious business, right? The business of the kingdom, the business of the church. We've got this. What do we do about the problem of the kids, right? We're trying to connect with Jesus. We're trying to bring in a kingdom. We're training for warfare. Trying to have gospel community. Yeah, these kids are getting in the way. I don't know. Maybe that's what they're thinking. Why else? The disciples are not only grumbling, like, I wish they wouldn't bring these kids. They're rebuking these parents for bringing their kids to Jesus. Get them out of here. Do you notice this impulse in yourself? Like, this is an impulse in people. There's the one impulse in parents to bring their kids. There's another impulse that exists in humans who are real Christians and close to Jesus to say, get them out of here. Do we have this impulse in ourselves? We see who you are in the story. I'm telling you that in this story, the disciples here are not the heroes. They're not the ones to imitate. Now, when you get to the end of the story, that Jesus doesn't say, good work, disciples, get those kids out of here. Right? Spoiler alert. So we don't want to be those people. We don't want to have that mindset. So Jesus is going to straighten it out in his response. And his response is threefold. So look at his response in 14 to 16. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant. And he said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms, and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. So Jesus' response is a multitude of things. First, what's Jesus' first response? Oh, wait, you tell me. What's Jesus' first response? Indignation. Jesus' first response was indignation. But God doesn't get indignant. Sure he does. Psalm 7:11 says God is angry with the wicked every day. He's filled with indignation. God hates sin. He's indignant about it. God hates it when people tell kids, get away from God. God does not like that. It makes him mad. Jesus responds with indignation. God is such a gracious and abundantly kind God, isn't he? When he reveals himself to Moses, he says, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. What would make such a gracious and abundantly generous God indignant, filled with indignation? His followers sidelining children. That's one thing that makes your abundantly gracious God, your overwhelmingly patient Father, it makes him mad. I think part of their response comes from their lack of understanding about his kingdom, right? I think Jesus is partly indignant because this ongoing blindness of his disciples is on display again, right? He in just a chapter back in 9:36, Jesus took a child and put him in the midst of them, of these same disciples. And taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. That was right after they were arguing about who's the greatest in the kingdom, right? And Jesus tries to give him a lesson. He tries to help him to see, right? Look, brings a kid. You receive this child, you're receiving me. You receive me, you receive my Father who sent me. Jesus has been trying to teach them this over and over and over again. And they're just, this is another outbreak of them not seeing it. They're bringing the kids, get the kids out of here. They're missing the point of Jesus' life, right? That Jesus didn't show up in a palace. He wasn't born in the fanciest medical center of the day. He was born in the barn. Angels didn't announce Jesus' coming to kings. They didn't go to the kings and the influencers and the famous people and say, good news unto us, a child has been born. A Savior has been given. They went to the shepherds, the people that were despised. The shepherds were hated in Israel in that day. They were the ones that nobody liked. That's who Jesus announced his kingdom to. Jesus didn't call his disciples from among the scribes and the Pharisees, from among the learned, and from among those who held religious power. He called his disciples from fishermen, from tax collectors, from just various people, and he gathers them together, and he creates this kingdom. And yet it's still hard for them to get their heads around this mindset of Jesus. And still, they think of themselves as important. They still want to be self-important. They still want to be exalted. And they're still not getting it. And I think that's part of Jesus' indignation. So Jesus' first response is that he's indignant. When Jesus saw it, he was indignant, and he said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them. So the second way Jesus responds is with welcome, kids. And when people were pushing the kids away from Jesus, it made him mad. Because he wants kids to come to him. It makes him mad, and then he turns to the kids and he welcomes them. Okay? He calls them to himself. Jesus responds with welcome, saying, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Kids, I want you to memorize this scripture. These are the words of Jesus, and he said, let the children come to me. Kids, can you say that back to me? Say it one more time. Let the children come to me. Who said that?
Jesus.
Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. To such belongs the kingdom of God. So notice a few things. Let the children come to me. Jesus welcomes them. He brings them in. Stop standing in the way. Do not hinder them, he says. Do not hinder them. Do not stand in between a child and Jesus. Don't ever find yourself telling a kid, no, you're not old enough, you're not smart enough, you're just too much work, you're too much trouble. Don't ever find yourself in the position of putting yourself between Jesus and a child. He said, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them. This is a command from your king, a command from your Lord. Don't hinder the children from coming to Jesus. Don't stand in the way. We should think of that as a church. We have lots of little kids in our worship with us. And sometimes they make noise. Sometimes they can be disruptive. Not you kids, just in theory. General kids. How do we respond? How do you respond when a disruptive child is sitting right behind you? Do you look back with a glare? Or do you look back with a smile? That's all it takes is one bit of eye contact, right? I didn't say anything. You don't have to say anything, but that mom is feeling insecure about this baby that's squawking and screaming or throwing stuff or blowing confetti all over the church or wandering up around and grabbing stuff. Like the parents get it. They know. And so how will we respond as a community? It takes all of us here to not hinder the children from coming to Jesus. They're here, they're coming, they're a part of this. And what are we going to do? Are we going to glare? Are we going to nod disapprovingly? Or are we going to smile with understanding and say, we get it, we're glad you're here. Don't be harsh and disapproving of kids. Don't be dismissive of them. Include kids in conversations. After church, we're standing around, and kids are running by, and they're running this way, and they're running that way. And sometimes they'll stop, and they'll look up, and they'll just kind of stand there. Do we ignore them and think like, we can't look down at you. We're up here talking. See, we're so much more important. That's why we're taller than you. We can't be bothered to look down and engage you in this conversation. But we should engage them. We should notice children standing around and we should talk to them. We should involve them in conversation because they are a part of us. Do not hinder them. Children, you are not too young for Jesus. Children, you are not too young to come to the King of the world. You don't need to be taller. You don't need to be more educated. You don't need to be older. You, children, can come straight to Jesus right now and all day and every day. And Jesus says, let the children come to me. So come, kids. Come to Jesus. Approach him. How do you do that? How do you come to Jesus when you can't see him? Kids, how do you do it? What was that?
Prayer.
Good. You talk to him. You call out to him. How else? Faith. That's right. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. We believe that he's real and that he hears us. We believe him. We pray to him.
Ask forgiveness.
We ask forgiveness. We confess our sins and clear away what stands in between us. We come to him and we approach him. We sing. We rejoice in him. We listen carefully to his word. We engage in the sermon. I remember being a kid. I specifically remember being a little kid walking around. I was raised as a Christian by the grace of God. I was walking around my yard as a little kid, as a habit, singing hymns to Jesus that I had heard at church and just acutely aware of the presence of Christ with me. I mean, I can distinctly remember it. I would sing the song, I Come to the Garden Alone. What does it say? And he walks with me. and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And the joy we share as we gather there, none other has ever known. And I remember I would sing that, and my heart would just fill with joy because I knew that Jesus was walking with me. It was just a little kid, and it was true. Jesus was accommodating himself to my young faith. Kids, you can walk with Jesus, and you can talk with Jesus. And you can share joy with Christ yourselves whenever you want. Draw near. Approach him. One of the ways we're walking this out in Gospel Church is to welcome the children and worship with us. I talked about this a little bit. I'll just say one more thing about it. We want to see parents coming to worship with their kids in hand, looking for Jesus to bless them. We're not going to develop a children's church. We don't have a children's church by accident. That's a weird way of saying it. We don't have a children's church on purpose. It's not that we're small, we're still working on the church plans, and eventually, once we have enough staff, we'll create a children's church, and they can go do their church over somewhere else, and we will do big people church over here. We will never do that. That's never the plan. We want the people together. We want the kids with us. We don't want to subtly communicate to the kids that they're not fully part of this. The kids are so fully part of what we're doing here that we actually need to learn from them how to approach King Jesus. That's where Jesus goes next. Let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for, why? To such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Parents, not only do we not have a child problem, we have a child blessing, because when we have children here and we can understand how they're processing and what their faith looks like, they can teach us how to enter the kingdom and how to approach Christ. We don't want to subtly comment to the kids like, you go do your own thing. You can have your little, you guys can go enter the kingdom in the advanced section back there, and we'll enter the kingdom. We'll struggle our way through it out here. We want all to be together, learning from one another, engaging in the difficulty together. The kids are part of this. There's a lot. We're putting together more information and resources about this because we know it's a challenge. We know it's not easy to keep your kids, but we think it's a blessing. And so we have some informational pamphlets on the back about that you can take to think more about it, to give to friends or to give to others. Or you see visitors with kids, get one of those in their hands to help them to see what's going on, why we do what we do. That links to a longer document we've written up on our website that's pretty lengthy, that's trying to explain further why we're trying to do this, why we're trying to keep families together, why we're trying to keep kids with their parents, why we're encouraging this, that we all approach God together in worship. And we have lots of ways to assist. If you're, I'm looking out, and you guys have been here for a long time. Everybody has kids. It's not new to you, but I want us all to be aware of these things, right? And there's, so that you're aware and that you can encourage others. And the Welcome Center back there, we have little bags you can get with activities and stuff for the kids to keep busy hands busy. We actually have people who are willing to sit with families who are struggling to do this, like need another pair of hands, maybe to get up and take one to the bathroom and somebody else to stay. But people will sit with you during worship if that's helpful to you. So these are things for you to know, and then for you to know so that you can then offer those to others, or maybe sign up for these kinds of things. And all of this can be accessed just by talking to somebody back at the welcome booth there. So let the children come to me, Jesus says. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. We don't enter the kingdom of God by might or by power. We don't approach God by our works, but by his grace. Consider your calling, brothers. Grown-ups, especially, listen. Consider your calling. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many of you whom Jesus has called to himself did he call because of how wise and how powerful you were. He thought, that person has such potential to advance my kingdom. Not many were of noble birth, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Here's where the application comes to all of us, right? Do you feel small? Do you feel weak? Do you feel that you lack power or wisdom or nobility? Do you feel that you don't have something to offer? Then you are primed to enter the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you feel like I show up, but I just don't feel like I have very much to offer. I'm just struggling, I'm beat up, I'm weary, I'm sick, I'm broken. I don't know what I have to offer. I don't have anything to offer to Jesus. Then you are primed to approach God. The door of the kingdom of Christ is small on purpose. And you have to stoop to go through it. Whoever doesn't receive the kingdom like a child shall not enter it. How does a kid come into the family? Do kids come into the family by earning their birth? By working hard enough and showing themselves, I'm worthy, I'm valuable, have me, I can contribute so much to you if you'll just have me. Then we think, okay, you passed the test, I guess you can come in. But you better earn your keep and you better keep it up or else you're out. That's not how it happens. As a child, you just are given the gift of life. You just receive it. And you come into a family, you come into a situation as just a pure receiver of grace. You haven't earned it. You haven't asked for it. You haven't contributed. You haven't done anything. You contribute a little bit of cuteness, which is great. But that's it. You just show up. This is how you enter the kingdom of God. This by sheer grace alone. This is how God receives sinners. And if you think you have a lot to bring and offer to God, the first thing you have to do in order to come to him is set all that down and sing the line, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling, and you come to Jesus with nothing. And that's how you come. That's why Paul says, or James says, let the rich brother exalt in his humiliation. If you have a lot, if you are of noble birth, if you do have a lot of power and wisdom according to the world, you have to count all that as loss, so that you can approach Christ, but for his grace alone. So that you can just come with nothing in your hands and just receive forgiveness and salvation and pardon and fellowship with the Father for free. He says, let the lowly brother exult in his exaltation. If you come with nothing, you're ready. You just come in and you're exalted, you're lifted up. You're blessed. You're given everything. Nobody enters the kingdom of God except like a little child. Just with faith. My kids don't come and bargain with me for a meal. Dad, I'll do this if you'll give me lunch today. They know better. They're in the family. Now, they have responsibilities. They have things they're expected to do and they're required to do, and we follow through and make them do it. But that's not them earning their keep. They're just in. They're in the family by grace. We're not kicking them out. So it is with you in Christ. You're not earning your keep. You're not keeping yourself in covenant with him by your faithfulness. There are things that are required for you to do, and God will see it through that you do them and that you do obey and that you live as a citizen of his household, of his kingdom. But that's not your entrance requirement, and that's not the bar to stay in. Right? That's just part of the family code. That's just how God treats his children. But you're in. You're in by the blood of Christ, and you're in forever. And so the last thing that Jesus does is he responds with blessing. He takes the kids in his arms. Isn't that great? The parents are bringing these kids to Jesus. These are really little kids, according to Matthew. And he takes them in his arms. He holds them. He puts a hand on them, and he speaks a blessing over them. He invokes God's gracious kindness over these children. He devotes them to God. This is Jesus's final response. He's teaching, he's addressing this, he's bringing it, he's correcting the disciples' misunderstanding, and then he just puts his hands on the kids and he blesses them. He takes them in his arms, he lays his hands on their heads, and he speaks a blessing over them. Oh, that God would continue to do this for our children. Oh, that God would speak a blessing over every single child in this room. As we're bringing them to Jesus, as we're all coming to Jesus together, we're approaching God together. We want Jesus to bless our children, to connect with them. Is he able to do it today? Is Jesus less present right now than he was in this story? No, Jesus is absolutely as present right now as he was in this story. And we want Jesus to take our children up in his arms, to put his hands on them, and to bless them. And not just them, but all of us. So let's go to him, and let's ask him to do it together. Oh, Lord Jesus, that you would bless our children. Lord Jesus, we bring our kids to you, all the kids that are here and the kids that aren't here. God, we bring them to you. And Lord Jesus, will you take them in your hands? Will you lay your hands on them and will you bless them? Will you do them good and will you grant them salvation? Father, will you let Gospel Church be a church that grows generationally? From generation to generation, may we be a people who trust you and who follow you and who run hard after you and who know the salvation of your kingdom. And Lord Jesus, do this for all of us. We, each one of us, Lord Jesus, come to you this morning as children. Lord Jesus, we lay down our pride, we lay down our self-sufficiency, we lay down all lofty thoughts of ourselves and how much you owe us because of how much good stuff we've done. Lord, we lay all of that down and we just come humbly to you as children. Lord Jesus, pick us up, lay your hands on us, and bless us, Lord Jesus. Your blessing is life. Amen.